number one, it is the highest property tax in California history. Is not every voter is a small business owner, but I have to believe most every voter is a consumer of some sort. And as consumers, we will all be affected by higher prices. If economic conditions don't improve within the next 6 months, one out of every five NFIB members will be forced to close their doors. When is enough enough?
I'm Tony Melandra, NFIB California's Senior Media Manager, and I want to begin by thanking the California Tax and Budget Research Project for its support of this podcast series. The project is a coalition of small businesses, taxpayers, and service providers raising concerns about imposing a new sales tax on services in California. Our first podcast in the series discussed the Paycheck Protection Program and whether there will be a second round of loans. You can listen to it on the NFIB California webpage at www.nfib.com/CA or on your favorite podcast app by searching NFIB California. Today we are discussing something specific to California, Proposition 15, the November ballot initiative that seeks to begin the unraveling of the historic Proposition 13 property tax reforms passed 40 years ago. Joining me for this podcast is John Kabatek, California State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business, or NFIB. Welcome, John. Why don't you tell us about your special guest?
Well, thanks, Tony, and greetings, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us. And I'm so especially grateful to our very special guest and my good friend, and actually who's somebody who's been a personal mentor to me for many years, Rex Heim. Rex has been the president and CEO of the California Business Properties Association since 1986. I graduated from high school in 1986. My hair was much darker back then. But to put things into perspective, Rex has done a lot since I graduated from high school and since 1986, and even before then. Rex is a native Californian. He graduated from the University of California, Davis with a BA in political science and received his law degree from UC Davis School of Law. And also, Rex has served for more than a couple decades combined in the Army Reserve and the California National Guard before retiring as a major in 1990. With a membership of more than 10,000, wow, CBPA, the Business Properties Association, is the designated legislative advocate for shopping centers, industrial and office properties, building owners and managers, and other real estate investors and leaders. Before joining California Business Properties Association, Rex served on then-Governor Reagan's educational staff and also as an assistant to the director for the State Department of Consumer Affairs. Later, he was the executive director for the California State Commission for Economic Development, the director for California Commission on Agriculture, and as a special assistant to the lieutenant governor. And he also has legislative experience as both a senior assistant to the minority leader of the California State Assembly. Rex is a proven tax fighter. He's helped to create the coalition that has stopped the threat of split roll tax several times, and he served on the steering and executive committees for Prop 13. Ren has been a fierce tax fighter and a good leader in the business community. And also from the NFIB, you know, we being small business renters, a lot of Rex's members tend to be the property owners that a lot of our members rent from, and most of our members do rent. Rex also recently served as a regent of the UC California, the University of California, and he's a past chair and current member of the board of directors of the California State Fair, CalExpo. Rex is the resident of Loomis. He's married to Gwen Bicker Heim, and he has two sons, Rex and Reagan. Love those names. Rex has been a great mentor to me, a dear friend to me, most importantly, a real believer in small business success and a great friend of NFIB. And we're really pleased to work together on the No on Prop 15 campaign this year as we gear towards November 3rd. And that's an important topic we're talking today is protecting Prop 13 by defeating Prop 15. Rex has been a great leader. And with that said, I just wanted to take a moment now and welcome our dear friend to NFIB and to me personally and to small business, Rex Heim. Rex, welcome.
Thank you, John.
Rex, welcome. I'd like to start with you. I can understand why groups like yours would be against Prop 15, because it would require commercial and industrial real property to be taxed on current market value instead of the purchase price as it is now. But proponents go to great lengths to assure voters that their initiative leaves residential property alone. So homeowners should just chill out. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, That's one of those examples of smoke and mirrors. The proponents have a long-standing public record of being opposed to Proposition 13 and wanting to dismantle its protections, not just for commercial properties, but for residential properties. As a matter of fact, two of their major proponents actually filed lawsuits back in 1978 in an effort to prohibit Proposition 13 from being enacted. So this is just the first step. As recently as a year ago, one of the spokespersons for the very campaign said, we're going after Prop 13 next. This is our first step. So they're publicly there, which is why the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association is so actively involved in supporting our efforts to defeat this measure.
John Kopetek, look, Prop 15 would not even touch business owners with $3 million or less worth of commercial land, and it even reduces the business equipment tax. So it would seem that small business owners NFIB represents are out of harm's way. Is that fair to say?
I think the proponents couldn't be further from the truth. And it is, as my friend Rex mentioned, a real smoke and mirrors game from the proponent side, because it's a very clever way when they crafted this initiative to make it really sound like the mom and pops, the small business owners, were completely exempt, that they wouldn't be covered under this whole Prop 15 property tax increase. And they couldn't be further from the truth. We all know, and certainly with the NFIB and studies we've done, we've found that the majority of small business owners rent their property. But whether they own or rent, they're going to be affected. And so when we hear this talk about, well, don't worry, the $3 million and above properties are the only ones who are going to be affected, it really is a shell game and a smoke and mirrors game more so. When a small business or when anybody leases their property from one of Rex's members or anybody, we actually all know that they sign a triple net lease. It means that a renter is absolutely on the hook for three things: maintenance, insurance, and property taxes, and the taxes on that property. So those absolutely are passed on from the property owner who faces faces a very tough property tax increase, but they must pass that on not only to economically balance their sheets, but of course, by the way the leases are drawn up with triple nets, they must be passed on. So the small business owners get hit very hard, and then two things happen. They either are going to have to raise their prices, and that means more costs to us as consumers on grocery items, milk, gasoline, products we buy at the store, or worse off, in this terrible pandemic, when people are losing their jobs, when we have a 15% record unemployment, we're going to see people out of work. And that's very likely could also happen. So it's a farce to hear that. They talk about these fun exemptions and these cool exemptions. They're not exemptions. They absolutely crush small businesses.
John, thank you. That's a great answer. May I add, there's another little smoke and mirrors game that they play with this. The $3 million exemption only applies to a single owner. So if an individual happens to own two properties, and one is valued at 1.5 and one is valued at 1.6, that totals 3 million plus, and all of his properties get reassessed. So the fact of the matter is, a lot of properties are multiple ownerships, and there's going to be a lot of people surprised by what happens.
Very good point.
Rex, the average voter might think he or she is doing right by education and voting for Prop 15. You've served on the education staff of a California governor and have been a University of California regent. Is education starved for money?
No. 43% of the state budget is dedicated to education. And having served on all of the construction facility bond measures that have been passed in California, I'm very committed to education in California. But I have to say, this measure doesn't do anything to guarantee education is improved in California. What it does, it says 40% goes to schools, 60% goes to local governments. That's it. It doesn't say anything thereafter about we're going to reduce class size, we're going to put more teachers into employment, we're going to do this, that, and the other. There's absolutely nothing. And most of the folks who watch these kind of things from afar have come to the conclusion that this is going to be used for nothing more than to backfill the pension funds of the CTA, California Teachers Association, and the SEIU Service Employees International Union. This isn't about improving education. Otherwise, they would have included that as part of what the measure does, but it doesn't. And so this does nothing to help the education needs in New York State.
That's a great answer, Rex. With your education background, I would like you to be our superintendent of public instruction. Can we get that one going soon, Rex? What do you think?
I think we'll pass on that one, but thanks, John.
Hey, Rex, Tony, would you mind if I interrupt? I want to ask Rex, speaking of education, and Rex, you were keeping a close eye on, I was hoping you might share with our listeners here a little bit about what happened down in Los Angeles with that Measure EE not too long ago, and all the promises that was going to go help education, and it seems the voters down there didn't buy it. Maybe share a little bit about your thoughts on that one.
This is very interesting because EE was actually talked about as being part of a two or three step program leading to this vote on Proposition 15. They were very public about that. And part of the United Teachers of Los Angeles settlement of their strike was that the LA School Board and the LA City Council had to commit to supporting Proposition 15 when it was on the ballot. What they did was they were doing this parcel tax. They were way ahead. They had to get the 2/3 vote on this, but it was endorsed by the mayor down there and endorsed by all the labor unions, the LA Times. Everybody had said, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. The guy who was running our campaign for No on 15, we brought him in, and he was able to do the kind of campaign that resulted in folks understanding that what this parcel tax was all about was, again, pensions, not education. And the voters, instead of being at the 60% plus where they were polling at the time that we started our campaign, the measure ended up only getting 46%. And was quite a surprise. But these folks, these public employee unions, are never held accountable. They say what they want to say. They have the power and the ability to finance those kind of things and to get away with this kind of trickery on a regular basis.
John, the old adage about politics making for strange bedfellows seems to be on full display with Prop 15. Against it are the president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association and the president of the California NAACP. Opposition really doesn't fit easily into party or ideological categories. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the incredibly growing coalition, which far outweighs the yes on Prop 15 side, is very telling about how many people are just absolutely terrified of the concept of the highest property tax increase in California history. And really, Tony, the impact, the ill effects it will have on so many levels to so many. You know, you're right, you said the NAACP for California, Alice Huffman, who's the president. I know, in fact, she's actually sat with John Kupal, looked across the table, John Kupal with Howard Jarvis saying, what are we doing sitting here together at the table? But they know the answer because they know that this is going to have an effect on Californians of every type. And we see groups like United Latinos Vote, certainly the NFIB, all of the leading ethnic chambers. We've got the Grocers Association. We've got other regional organizations, ethnic organizations, neighborhood groups. We have Willie Brown, who is not necessarily, you know, your prototypical kind of right center, historically right center business leader. He's concerned about the ill effects it will have. Antonio Villaraigosa from Los Angeles, the former mayor. And then you've got just a whole slew of other individuals who are small business owners. I think most importantly, hundreds and hundreds of small business owners saying, please don't raise taxes on me, especially during this most terrible crisis. This is the last thing we need as we're trying to crawl out of the hole. And many of them, as we heard Rex just say, with Measure EE, the LA City voters, who again, I don't think are your typical Jefferson State voters, looked at that and said, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that the money going here that they want to raise, that the public employee unions want to raise, is going to go where it was intended. And so voters aren't going to buy it on Election Day on November 3rd. We are encouraging everybody to build on our coalition, make yourself a part of our coalition and help us grow that. And it's at noonprop15.org, noonprop15.org. But the bottom line is we got left, we got right, tall, short, we got all kinds of business, labor, other folks involved. And we just think that voters aren't going to buy it. And they don't want taxes during this terrible crisis or any time when California needs to crawl out of a hole.
Speaking, John, of the California Superintendent of Public Instruction, he is the co-signer to the lead argument in favor of Prop 15 in the California voter pamphlet. And it didn't take long, in fact, in the first paragraph, to get to the hyperbole in saying California is giving away billions of dollars in property tax breaks to wealthy corporations these billions could be used instead to deal with increasing inequality, persistent poverty, unemployment, unaffordable housing, homelessness, and underfunded schools. Rex, let's start with you. I mean, that wealthy corporations tax breaks is standard plug-and-play piece of hyperbole. What would you say to somebody who might have a sincere concern about that?
Well, it is totally, totally false. You know, the fact of the matter is this measure itself doesn't address any of those that we've already talked about, education. They're just throwing the word education in there. And there's no escaping taxes, and corporations pay their taxes. A matter of fact, the one anomaly in Proposition 13's implementation, which was done by the legislature, by the way, is the one area where there has been abuse, and not by folks involved in the real estate world, but rather by movie moguls, movie stars, and high-tech billionaires who have wanted to buy properties like a hotel in LA or whatever, and brought in fancy pants attorneys and finagled transfer of ownership that did not trigger a reassessment. That truly was what I refer to as a scallywag. And we attempted to fix that almost a decade ago. We worked with a gentleman at that time in the assembly. His name was Tom Amiano. Tom was the most liberal member of the legislature from the city of San Francisco. And we put forward a measure that would eliminate the ability of these folks to manipulate the sales price and not have to pay an increase in their property taxes. This measure was in place, and sitting side by side with me were proponents for Proposition, who are now the proponents of Proposition 15, people who want to see the end of Proposition 13. And they sat next to me and they said, yes, this is a great measure. We have to fix this. And we testified jointly. We got it out of the assembly almost unanimously. It went over to the Senate side. And on the Senate side, one of the political operatives for the California Teachers Association said, well, wait a second. If we fix this, we won't have the ability to use the term abusing loopholes in our campaign materials in the future when we're fighting to change Prop 13 and create split roll tax. So we can't fix this. So at that point, all the people that had been supportive of it on my side, when we got to the Senate side, testified against it, and they killed the measure. And the measure died, and we've introduced it several times since, and on each occasion, that's also died. If they wanted to fix what they referred to as a loophole in California, Prop 13, they could have, but they chose not to for political purposes, so they can have split roll tax and end protections to Proposition 13.
John, let me ask you, picking up on the sort of the same question about the hyperbole you hear from the proponents of Prop 15, and it's in their ballot statement for all to read. I mean, wildfires, pandemics, earthquakes, economic and racial equality come into this. What should people really know about this Proposition 15?
I think what they should know is, number one, it is the highest property tax in California history. It is a regressive tax that will affect, again, one thing it's important for voters to know is not every voter is a small business owner, but I have to believe most every voter is a consumer of some sort. And as consumers, we will all be affected by higher prices. And right now, one of the things that we are hearing from small businesses is that we did a study at NFIB, is if economic conditions don't improve within the next 6 months, one out of every five NFIB members will be forced to close their doors. That is what we have been told by our members, not by fancy survey people. And ultimately, that does not help. Removing 20% of small businesses from Main Street, from our communities, when they are most of the businesses, is going to affect the families out there, the mom and pops, the parents, the working parents, and just those trying to put food on the table. You'll have higher prices, you'll have fewer items, and you'll have fewer stores to shop from. So, you know, the hyperbole we hear from people is, again, that this is going to smack it to the big, big companies that should be paying their fair share. Not true. It's not only going to hurt the smallest businesses, but it's going to hurt the consumers. We have such a widespread group of coalition of so many different levels that are saying, you know, this is not the right time. It's never a good time to raise prices when we have the highest sales, income, corporate, gas taxes, high minimum wage. And then we have onerous workers' comp laws on businesses. When is enough enough? We basically are reminding voters, this is a consumer-facing issue. You've got to vote no on Prop 15 if you want to keep money in your pocket, put food on the table, and frankly, a roof over your head, because residents, the unions that Rex was just talking about, they're coming for residential property next. Make no mistake.
You know, Rex, just to pick up on what John mentioned there a moment ago, I found it very interesting that the legislative analyst has written that the, and I quote directly, the value of commercial property can change a lot from year to year. This means the amount of increased property taxes also could change a lot from year to year. You know, it sounds like Prop 13 was a nice, consistent leveling force, and why you'd want to gamble with revenue spikes and revenue shortfalls if you were a local government running a local government.
Well, you wouldn't, Tony. That's exactly right. The one thing that is, if you look at the statistics over the years, the property tax flow to local government has been consistently increasing at a higher rate than anything else, and it's something they've been able to rely upon. This measure is going to jeopardize that. In addition to the ledge analyst saying that statistic, he also pointed out that California will lose between 85,000 and 130,000 jobs, referencing back to what John was talking about, its impact on small businesses, and the ability of us to get out of this current situation is going to be so far hampered. The economists have studied this measure. And again, to John's point, the average family is going to see an increase of about $1,000 costs that gets passed on to them through food costs, and agriculture has already explained that, and other kind of things. Each family, a family of four, having to pay another $1,000 a year. In California, where it's already the most expensive place to live. So, you know, you're spot on, and the ledge analyst is spot on. The other thing is that it's been estimated at, for value for real estate folks, there is a value to certainty. And when you have certainty of taxation, that is a value. That has been an important value of California commercial real estate. You take that away, and there will be a diminishment of value right off the bat, probably between 3 and 5%. And so if you're invested in commercial real estate, like many pension funds are, that means they're going to take a hit as well, which is why, again, John referenced the fact that private sector unions are jumping on board in opposition to Prop 15, because they're saying, why should our pension portfolios take a hit in order to backfill the pensions of the public employees, CTA, and SEIU folks? And they've said enough is enough.
I think we've always had an openness to discussing ways to make the tax system work better. But what unions tend to do is it's never enough. And but what voters are finding, and I think Rex has many, many more years looking back on this, is they just don't have faith that the tax money they send to Sacramento, or even sometimes to their city halls, and in often cases to Congress, is being spent honestly and responsibly. We've seen this with the gas tax issue. That money is not going exactly where Governor Brown and others had hoped it would go, or had promised, I should say, folks would take it would go to. It's not fixing the potholes in the roads. We see education dollars not making it where they should. There's a truth in advertising that voters are just fed up with, and they're broke. So we're not buying it. Yes, business expensing, fixing those kinds of things, great thing, but Prop 15 is a mess and it's going to hurt. And again, voters aren't going to buy the fact that those dollars are going to be spent, again, not just responsibly, they don't buy that they'll be spent honestly.
Rex, in the rebuttal to the arguments against Prop 15, the proponents mentioned that the wealthy owners of the most expensive 10% of business properties account for 92% of Prop 15's revenues, should the measure pass, of course. You know, it's like personal income taxes. I mean, if you keep raising the taxes, are you going to get any more from people who may leave or just stop producing? You see a real risk that this is not going to generate the revenues it promises?
Well, I think what's going to happen is that you're going to see, in the long term, more and more folks trying to get out of California real estate. You're going to see a disinvestment occur. You're going to see a lack of kind of important maintenance that you see going on in our buildings today, the kind of revitalization that occurs. There's going to become more lackadaisical. There's going to be the look-see of these responsible owners saying, you know what, I don't need to have an investment in California when I can be invested in Colorado or Utah or Texas or wherever. And they're going to sell to people who maybe are from Indonesia or China or the Middle East who could really care less. And everything starts to devolve downwards. And you sort of begin to have the whole Atlas Shrugged effect on property in California.
Kind of pivoting a little bit, such a great discussion. But, you know, I know, Rex, we have both been actively involved in the No on Prop 15 effort. We have but weeks until the election. And I know voters out there who feel passionately that, you know, we shouldn't be raising property taxes on small businesses and consumers ought to be getting involved. What can people be doing, you know, as we're looking at this and as we get towards the election, what can people be doing to get involved? How can they get involved? What should they be doing besides just telling a friend and a neighbor? Any thoughts you have there, Rex?
Well, first and foremost, John, they should work through you because NFIB is a very important partner that we're doing everything with. And that's critical. We have created materials that we can distribute through you guys, make available to your members the ability to download and then print out a No on 15 page piece of paper that they can put in their windows, which is basically cost-free to them. And those types of things, they can also donate. They can go to the No on Prop 15.org page, sign up as being an opponent of this measure. So there's a variety of things. And the other important thing they need to do is, and I know you're already working with them on this, John, and that is to talk to their employees, talk to their fellow business associates,
right.
Talk to their neighbors, talk to their Rotary Club, talk to their church members, et cetera, and say, folks, this is a hand-to-hand battle we're involved in. This is hand-to-hand combat, and urge them to vote no.
I would just echo that. I think we would really just encourage everybody to get out there and vote no on Prop 15. And it is noonprop15.org is the most important thing voters can know right now and listeners can know is to go to noonprop15.org. There's a toolkit for anybody and to pick and choose what they want to use and do to get the word out from, as Rex said, you know, there's posters and things they can print out, social media posts, other things that they can use as talking points to go speak to groups. I think just talking to your neighbor, friend, family, letting them know the impact is going to be critical right now. And they make it very easy. In fact, this is pretty cool. People are able to just do a quick selfie video and that can be posted and people can share why they believe Prop 15 will be devastating for them. It's pretty cool the way we can get people very involved in it and make sure that we get that word out. So I just want to thank Rex. Hearing your point of view, you've been so involved in this from back in the early days of Prop 13 over the years and worked so hard to protect it and be a part of that, Rex. So it's really honored to have you here. And I can't think of anybody with better Hawaiian shirts to invite to this program.
Well, Rex, let's give you the final word.
I just want to say it's been great to participate in this NFIB podcast. I got to tell you, John is a great partner that we work together with on many, many issues. And it's been great meeting the rest of the team.
Thank you again. Thanks to both of you, John Kabatek and Rex Heim, for this highly informative podcast. And thanks to the California Tax and Budget Research Project for its generous support of these podcasts. I'd also like to thank MultiPoint Content Strategies for its production of this podcast. And most important of all, thank you to our listeners. If you like what you heard, please share this episode, subscribe, and give us a thumbs up. For more information, please visit the NFIB California webpage at www.nfib.com/CA. Or you can find it wherever you get your favorite podcasts by searching NFIB California. Look forward to your joining us for the next podcast.